Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Gentlemen, for joining in today, this is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. Let's Face the Issues is broadcast each day with the purpose in mind of involving you, our listener. You can become involved with questions and answers and or the dialogue and discussion, or you may even want to disagree with what we have to say. That's all right. We're not going to be disagreeable, but you can join in the dialogue and the discussion by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413, gets you through to the microphone where we can have discussion today. We're going to be talking about who were the 56 men that signed the Declaration of Independence. Who were they? What did they do? What were their professions? What happened to them? Why did they do what they did in signing the Declaration of Independence, knowing that their lives would be on the line as a result of it? But before we get into the depth of that discussion, which is where we want to go, let me simply remind you that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. When we study the Scripture, we find that God charges us with the responsibility as those in the world, those in our society, yes, those in America, we're charged with the responsibility of praying for all of those that have leadership authority over us. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication and prayers and intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us that I believe the Bible is admonishing us to pray for the leadership in America, pray for the president, pray for our Congress, pray for those in both the House and the Senate, pray for those that lead nationally and those that lead statewide and those that lead in our city. But as we pray, the Scripture is very clear that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. The idea being that if we do not pray for them, and may I simply insert this very carefully, as we pray for them, we simply pray, Lord, if they're unwilling to be obedient to your word, if they're unwilling to follow the directives of the Scripture, simply remove them. Simply place someone else that would be more honorable in their position. And that's my prayer each day. And especially this season, as we think on and celebrate the independence of America, 242 years. And the Declaration of Independence, I don't know how many of you know what would be called the preamble to the Declaration of Independence, but let me just read to you from the document. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station in which the laws of nature and nature's God entitles them. A decent respect to the opinion of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impelled them to the separation. And then it starts. Most have heard this word, these words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are empowered by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And then it continues. And then following that, in the Declaration of Independence, it lists 33 charges that our founding fathers charged Great Britain, charged against the king, And at the conclusion of the 33 charges, they said, "In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant, he is unfit to be a ruler of a free people." And then at the conclusion of that, in the signing, "And for the support of this declaration," speaking of the Declaration of Independence, ladies and gentlemen, "with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." And ladies and gentlemen, we'll see in just a moment during the course of this broadcast, that's exactly what it cost each of the 56 men that signed the Declaration of Independence. But one of the things that we must look at and address to get to the point that I want us to understand today is that we're living in a society that, for the most part, the millennial generation and those slightly before that and after that, for the most part, we have not, ladies and gentlemen, taught U.S. history in our schools. As a result of that, I would be willing to say 85 to 90% of the millennials today could not tell you what the Declaration of Independence is about, could not tell you anything about the preamble to the Declaration of Independence, could not tell you anything about how many men signed the Declaration of Independence, nor could they tell you the destiny and what took place and what happened to those 56 brave men that gave us our Declaration of Independence and then went to war, the Revolutionary War, as a result of it, that we might be free today. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we have some of America's prominent socialist Democrats, some of the prominent socialist Democratic leaders demanding that we simply stop patrolling our borders. The Democratic Socialists today are wanting President Trump to discard and to dismantle ICE, I-C-E, that is the Immigration Control Enforcement. This agency is, ladies and gentlemen, responsible for catching and arresting drug runners, the MS-13 gang members, the rapists, the gun smugglers, those that are involved in drugs, and the illegals that are crossing the southern borders. In fact, since about January, February, ladies and gentlemen, do you realize there's been over approximately 50,000 per month that have been rushing our borders? And yet we have those that are saying today, the socialist Democrats are demanding that we dismantle and discard ICE. I want you to understand what would happen to America if we do not have any control at the borders. What would America be like? Would we be a sovereign nation? I say to you, no. The answer would be absolutely no. This same group, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, of the so-called political leaders are screaming for President Trump to be impeached. They're saying, in fact, the representative Waters, Maxine Waters, she keeps saying impeach 45. She's talking about President Trump. And yet there's no cause for impeachment, no charges. There's nothing that's been carried out from the standpoint of any due process. But yet that's all that's being heard. And it's out of the same mouths that we hear today that scream about discard ICE. And the premise is that they have separated families. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. According to the records, there are over 10,000 homeless children, abandoned children, on the streets and in shelters in New York City, over 10,000. Yet none of these same bleeding heart liberals, none of these same bleeding heart socialists are concerned about or care for these homeless children in New York. And perhaps based on the statistical gathering, there could be as much as 250,000 or better of homeless children in the streets and in homeless shelters across America. Where is the scream and cry to take care of them or to watch over them or to reunite them with their families? And now, on top of all of that, and it's coming to a crescendo, ladies and gentlemen, it's the reason I wanted to talk about this today. We're celebrating Independence Day, 240 years of the privilege of having liberty and freedom in our nation. And yet there's the scream and cry today, in essence, Let's remove our freedoms. Let's remove our liberties. Let's get under the shackles and the bondage of socialism in America. A 28-year-old socialist running for a House seat that, in fact, defeated Joe Crowley, which had been in the House, I believe, for some 28 or 30 years. She's a 28-year-old socialist, elected by the New Yorkers in a primary. She still got to go before the general election in November, but elected in the primary, defeated a liberal Democrat that had been there almost 30 years. But she has said that basically there are five things that she wants to see in America. Listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen. She says there are five things that she wants to see in America. Free education for everyone. Free health care for all. Guaranteed income for everyone, whether you work or not. No borders around America. And everyone, including illegals, having the right to vote. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's not total, pure, unadulterated socialism, in fact, socialism is simply communism light, L-I-T-E. If that's not socialism, ladies and gentlemen, nothing is. And we still have Maxine Waters that calling for a group of rioters. Maxine Waters that's calling for groups wherever they are, whether they're in the Trump administration directly, in his cabinet directly, or working for the Trump administration, or simply conservative Republicans. Ladies and gentlemen, she is screaming for the crowds to be gathered. Here's some of the things she says. Confront President Trump's cabinet members or supporters any place you find them, in restaurants, in department stores, in gas stations, wherever you see them. Stand up, cause a scene, and confront them. Where is that in accordance to the liberties and the freedoms, ladies and gentlemen, that we have in America? We're not a democracy. You hear me? We're not a democracy. A democracy simply means mob rule. We're a constitutional republic, a constitutional republic. Our constitution is what we go by, and the rule of law. And were it not for the Declaration of Independence, ladies and gentlemen, we would not be here as a nation today. I am appalled by what I'm seeing in the anarchist socialist movement today in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Perhaps you're listening and you differ. That's all right. Perhaps you're listening and you say, I have not heard things like this before. That's wonderful. You're listening to Dr. Youngblood. This is Let's Face the Issues broadcast. And we invite you to call 401-1413. We'd like to talk with you today about our Declaration of Independence. And more specifically, we're going to be talking in a moment about our 56 signers. Who were they? What were their backgrounds? Why did they risk it all that we might have freedom and liberty in America? Ladies and gentlemen, this is not the America of our founding fathers. This is not the America that our founding fathers gave their lives, their liberties, their future, and their families, and their fortunes for us to have. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not the America that we have as a result of the Declaration of Independence signed July the 4th, 1776. Providing liberties and everyone in America, for everyone in America, the rich heritage and a legacy that has lasted 242 years. Our nation was founded on biblical principles, not socialist, anarchist principles. In fact, William Penn said, those who will not be governed by God will be ruled by tyrants. And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. We are in that strata. We're in that position today. We have refused to be governed by God and the principles of God. And therefore, as William Penn said, we will be ruled by tyrants. You can recall, some of you have lived long enough, some of you have not. Some of you don't even know what the 60s entailed in America. I'm talking about the 1960s. In fact, for all intents and purposes, in the 1960s and following, we as a nation extricated God, banned God, removed God from our society in which we're living in. And go back to William Penn's statement, those who will not be governed by God will be ruled by tyrants. Ladies and gentlemen, since the 1960s, America has had, for all intents and purposes, we've banned God. Why do I say that? What is the point of reference? We've banned the Bible in the public schools. In fact, it's not just in the public schools. The Bible's been banned generally in any public arena. In fact, multitudes today refuse, when they're sworn into office, refuse to be sworn in with the hand placed on the Bible. Why is that so? I believe, frankly, the rudimentary, fundamental, elemental truth of it is they do not intend to uphold the law of God. They do not intend to uphold anything that would be considered godliness or God. Not only we banned the Bible, we banned an outlawed prayer in Jesus' name. Most city councils, most city governmental operations, most municipalities, most state governmental offices, when a program is started, when a commission meets or a council meets or anything in a meeting, there's a refusal to acknowledge God. Yes, most of them still have the pledge to the flag. And most of them, if there's anything called prayer, will admonish you not to pray in Jesus' name. I can recall just a few years back being on a commission within the state organization of government for the state of Florida and serving on that commission. One of the things I was insisted upon is that we, if we're going to have the pledge to the flag, that we need to have opening prayer and pray in Jesus' name. You would have thought I had suggested having anarchy and uprising in the state of Florida and overthrowing government. There was absolute chaos and conniption fits because as a commissioner, I said we need to have prayer and we need to pray in Jesus' name. I was told, well, you know, in the crowd that we're before, and the audience sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, be between 500 and 1,000 people and the live audience that we would be addressing. I was told that you can't do that because the audience would be a mixed people and some may have a different God. Well, that's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God that we reverence and recognize as the founding fathers did when our documents were drawn and we had our Declaration of Independence. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're talking about a subject matter today that is dear to me because we're now celebrating our Independence Day. And as we celebrate Independence Day, the Declaration of Independence was signed by 56 men. That basically surrendered their futures and their fortunes and their families as a result of signing the Declaration of Independence. We're talking about what got us to the point we're in today, ladies and gentlemen. We banned the Bible in the public schools. We banned prayer in Jesus' name. We've made sodomy legal in America. Yeah, you may call it gay. There's nothing gay about it. In fact, in the sodomite community, there's the highest level, percentage-wise, of depression and deception of heart, and ultimate degradation of life, and multitudes committing suicide as a result of their chosen lifestyle to live outside of the obedience of the Word of God. We made sodomy legal in America today, and even multitudes of denominational churches have decided to embrace sodomite lifestyle in order to keep the crowds coming and to appease the people. Ladies and gentlemen, we have welcomed fallen down before Allah in our public schools. We have welcomed Allah in our schools, and yet we banned Jesus in the public schools. And Allah is a fake God. It's not the creator, controller God of the Bible. We've legalized pot, and yet wonder why crime escalates on a national level. We wonder why opioids are now killing about 76 people a day across America. We wonder why that is so. We wonder why fentanyl is coming in across our borders today by the tons and destroying Americans. And it's because we have the gateway drug called marijuana, pot, that's being utilized, and yet we have nothing being done by our politicians today. God gave us 9/11. He's given us hurricanes and wars and conflicts, I believe, simply to get our attention. And yet we fail to recognize and reflect back on how America was birthed. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the celebration of our independence. Independence Day, July the 4th. It's not just a day for having barbecue, though that's wonderful. It's not just a day of having family and frivolity, though that's all right. It should be a day of solemn recollection of our nation and what God has given us, the birth of America. Benjamin Rush said, "Liberty without virtue would be no blessing to us at all." Hear that, ladies and gentlemen? Liberty without virtue would be no blessing to us at all. None of our liberty today, ladies and gentlemen, would be possible without having 56 men who pledged their lives, their fortunes, their future liberties, and their sacred honor. When they signed our Declaration of Independence, ladies and gentlemen, what do we know about these 56 men? I think, are very, very illiterate, ignorant when it comes to that. Many today will recognize the name Pearl Harbor and can reflect back on the hazards, the danger, the devastation that took place at Pearl Harbor. Many can think about Normandy and Iwo Jima. Many can reflect back on Vietnam and Korea and 9/11 and other historical events in the history of America that were low times and devastating times. Many can reflect back on those. But multitudes today, in fact, may I say most Americans, cannot tell you the history of our Declaration of Independence. In fact, if you were to ask anybody on the street, how many people signed the Declaration of Independence? I would be willing to tell you 99% cannot answer that question. I would be willing to tell you that 99% have no earthly idea how many men signed the Declaration of Independence. It was 56 men, 56 brave men, ladies and gentlemen, that knew what they were doing when they signed it, knew that it would bring difficulty and danger and hazard to their lives as a result of signing that Declaration of Independence. Ladies and gentlemen, what happened to these men, these 56 men that signed the Declaration of Independence? Well, let me just give you a little broad brush scenario, and then we'll look more closely. Five of these signers were captured by the British and brutally tortured as being traitors, as being considered traitors. Out of the 56, five of them were captured and tortured. Nine in the War for Independence died from wounds and or hardships that they suffered. Two lost their sons in the Continental Army. Two had their sons captured. At least a dozen or more had their homes pillaged and burned, all because they signed the Declaration of Independence. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a beautiful, beautiful history, a fantastic background. We have a wonderful heritage, and these men that signed the Declaration of Independence did so for our posterity today. Had it not been for their signing it, there would be no freedom in America today. There would be no liberty in America today. We'd still be ruled by tyrants from Great Britain. Had it not been for these 56 men that were willing to risk their all, that were willing to pledge, as they stated, they pledged to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what took place as a result of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Who were these men? Were they ignoramuses? Were they illiterates? Were they uneducated men? Were they bums on the street? Were they men of no report, no reputation, and of no means to support them? Just who were these men? Who were these 56 honorable men? Who were these 56 men that were willing to put their names on the dotted line and risk their futures, their lives and their fortunes, risk their families and their sacred honor? Let me just recap for you who these men were. 25 of them were lawyers or jurists. Evidently, they were not lawyers like we have so often today. They can stand and spin a lie and make it sound like the truth to win a case. In fact, most lawyers today are not searching for truth. They're searching for the most genius in communication to sway a jury to win a case. But the out of these 56 men that signed the Declaration of Independence, ladies and gentlemen, 25 of them were lawyers and jurists. 11 of them were businessmen. Businessmen that had their businesses to run. Businessmen that were in business, doing business with the public. Some were, back in those days, they were called merchants, shopkeepers, storekeepers. 9 of them were farmers. 1 was a teacher. 1 was a musician. 1 was a printer. But each of these men, ladies and gentlemen, were men of means and education, yet willing to sacrifice it all for freedom that we so cherish today, or that we have cherished up until recent years. Ladies and gentlemen, these men were men that were willing to sign their death warrants, if you will, in order for us to have freedom today. Let's, as we celebrate Independence Day, for our 242nd birthday of the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen, as we celebrate this Independence Day, let's think about these 56 men and how they preserved liberty for us in the codification of the Declaration of Independence. Let's celebrate this Independence Day with a solemn commitment to preserve the liberties granted to us by God and codified in our founding documents. In fact, one of these brave men, in fact, I have a list before me. Time will not allow us on this broadcast to go into the details of how each of these men died, what they faced in their lives, and what took place in relationship to their demise and their family loss. One of them was William Ellery. He signing at the risk of his fortune proved only to be very realistic. For in December 1776, during 3 days of the British occupation of Newport, Rhode Island, his home was burned and all of his property destroyed. And I could go into great detail, but ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that we live in a time when there's a need for us to turn back to God. How can God heal America and save America? I believe we go back to a text that is very, very cherished in my heart, in the 7th chapter of 2 Chronicles, the 14th verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and ladies and gentlemen, it's not talking about shying away from prayer. It's talking about public prayer and private prayer. It's talking about praying, sincere prayer, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. When you say seek my face, it means it has the connotation of seeking to please God, seeking God's face, seeking his face, turning from our wicked ways. Then, the scripture says, will I hear from heaven, and then will I forgive their sins, and then will I heal their land. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray and ask God to hear us. We need to seek his face and ask him to heal our land. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. I'm looking forward to joining you again tomorrow on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.